standing order. All please rise. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. The clerk will now take the roll call.
Yes.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Musler.
Before I say here, can the heat be turned down a little bit? Perhaps. I am here, thank you.
Oh, good.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
Good, I thought I was having a hot flu.
Yeah, that's
hot.
Is that cold? It doesn't feel cold. Really?
It's not cold. It's warm.
It's
oh,
hot.
It's too hot.
It's
oh,
hot.
Yes. It doesn't feel.
Now he's going to turn it down. We'll all be complaining.
Yeah.
Cold.
Yeah.
Get it over 20 minutes.
Maybe I'll make a short meeting if it's colder. Okay, next up is the public comment period. This is where members of the public can speak to the council. Anything that's not on tonight's agenda. So anything that's not on tonight's agenda. Any takers? We do. Well, welcome. Glad you could come.
Silence.
Hey.
Sarah is speaking.
Be quiet. This is an esteemed guest who demands our respect.
There's a librarian standing there.
Yeah, the library is so quiet. You guys have been in there recently.
Yeah, you should be shushing these people.
My name is Sarah Kohler. I am the branch manager of the Ferndale Public Library. My home address is 4381 Salt Spring Drive, Ferndale. I thought you guys might like an update on the library. We've been in there just a little over 4 months now. If you've not been by and seen how many cars are in the parking lot, that kind of tells you everything. I'm going to give you guys one of those to pass around. That's something that's for the whole library system, but it's much of our adult programming for the spring. If you look through that, you'll see that a lot of it's at Ferndale. That new meeting room of ours is really attractive for doing programming. When we try to recruit programming, if we're trying to get somebody from Bellingham, they'll say they'll go to Ferndale. But a lot of times they don't want to go to North Fork or Sumas or someplace way out there. So we're very lucky. And I can get more of those. Like, it doesn't look like I had quite a few, but I can get you more. Attendance. I walked around the library about 4:40 this afternoon just to do a casual head count and counted 75 people. About half of those were teens and kids. Lots and lots of families were coming in. If I had done that same thing this morning during toddler time, I probably would have come up way over 100 people. Lots and lots of little ones. Circulation's up 12% in the new building over Pioneer Pavilion. Pioneer Pavilion was up about 20% over the building up on Main, old building up on Main Street. So we went from circulating about 20,000 items a month to about 35 to 40,000 items a month now. So it's really increased by quite a bit. The other thing that's really gone up is our usage of our Wi-Fi. In July, we had 876 people log on to our Wi-Fi. In November, we had 1,395 people log on to our Wi-Fi. So it's used a lot. A lot of people are doing work. They're doing school. They're doing business. Sometimes they're just watching YouTube. It's whatever they want to do. But you'll find a lot of people in there doing work and business and school. Lots of school work, adults as well as kids, adults that have returned to school. So this is a good one. February 7th, we had a princess program. Then we had a Valentine's program, and we had a story time. Our door count was 2,400 people. The staff walked out a little tired. So it was a busy day. So if you haven't been by, please come by and take a look. I've seen most of you there. Several of you are very active library users, so we'd love to see you. We'd love to see Sam's family. So, any questions for me? Uh-huh.
I know your conference room and meeting room are always booked.
Yes.
Hard, but do you ever put like a reserve note on that table in the back?
In the very back?
In the very back.
I could if you let me know ahead of time. I could do something like that. I would let me know at least a day ahead. People come in first thing in the morning and they camp out, and sometimes they're there all day. There's also the study room, and the study room has a capacity of 4, and you can reserve that online as well.
Okay.
And then we have the teen study room, which you can't reserve, but if it's during the day and it's when the kids are in school anyways, you're more than welcome to use that room as well. We'll find a spot for you if you need a spot.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions? No?
No.
Great, great job.
It's
thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You,
okay, anyone else from the public comment period? Anyone? No? Okay, moving on. Council, before you is the consent agenda.
Move to accept.
Okay, been moved by Councilperson Ingram and seconded by Councilperson Birch. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. I want to note, because it's on the consent agenda, I'm just really pleased with the applications for the Eagle Board and the Arts Commission. That's just, you look at those, both those groups, and we've really got some talented people, and it's great to see people step forward for volunteer positions. So great job, whoever recruited all those people. So moving on, presentation on the Thornton Overcrossing. And we have a guest. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. My name is Bob Doherty. I'm with Shearer Design. We just recently completed the TSNL bridge study for Thornton Street over the NSF Railroad. And I wanted to give you a brief update. You have two packets before you. One of them is the 8.5 by 11 packet. Is basically a few review slides from a PowerPoint that is going to be on paper today. And then the other one are a few excerpts from the report itself that kind of highlight the four options and the costs of those. That is pulled straight from the report. And I understand that report is available to all now. So I'm going to be briefly going through the 8.5 by 11 to start. We're talking about the Thornton Street over BNSF Railroad Bridge, plus the roadway project between Malloy Avenue and the 2nd Avenue Portalway roundabout. On the second sheet, you can see a basic overview of the four alignment options. Most of them are identical, except for the north-south leg and the way that the alignment crosses over the BNSF Railroad. You can see the four alignments there. Two are curved with large radius curves. The other two are tighter radius curves that would require traffic to slow down before it makes that turn. The larger radius curves would allow traffic to flow more freely than have design speed. Moving along, each option considered quite a number of factors. The access at Sampson Rope, you can see the access street that kind of loops down from the east-west leg of Thornton Street there. The rightmost or easternmost portion of that would tunnel through the fill there and access Sampson Rope according to our design. You can see a closer view of that on the next page. So wall lengths, impacts to private property, right-of-way acquisition, wetlands expanding to the north and to the west, to the east, I'm sorry, in the future. Railroad requirements for the design of the bridge over the railroad, traffic flow, like I mentioned, in the two types of curve, and the bottom line, cost. The next page shows the overcrossing for option one. Many of the bridges are similar. The only one that's significantly different is option two. A lot larger curve required because of the skew over the railroad, but that's not shown here. It is shown in your other packet if you'd like to look at that. Option one was shown here because it's the lowest cost option and the one we propose to proceed with.
Are there walks, pedestrian crossings, and bike paths along the bridge?
There are, in your bigger pack, on page that looks like this with the cross section of the bridge, a few pages in, shows the basic cross section that will be going through the corridor there. There are 12-foot lanes, vehicle travel lanes, 2 5-foot shoulders, 5-foot sidewalks on both sides. It's anticipated that that will carry through the whole improvement area. The 5-foot shoulder would allow bike lanes. I don't know that they're designated bike lanes per se, but they would allow bike traffic.
I know in the past when we've gotten federal money, we've had to put bike lanes and sidewalks. Is this going to meet that in case we try to get some federal money?
This particular cross-section maximizes what will fit inside the existing right-of-way. So anything wider than that would require acquisition of right-of-way. The constraint is on the north side of the east-west lake there where there are private property. So things could push to the south. And
5 feet is more than adequate.
Yeah. 5 feet is more than enough for typical bike lanes, but usually you don't want to encroach on the shoulder width with that, too, so sometimes it's a little more.
I just wanted to make sure that we just do it, that if we go for federal money, that we have the right design and the right spacing for it.
I'm looking at the access to Sampson Rope.
Yes.
16-foot, 6-inch minimum clearance. Are we making any kind of a provision? My experience has taught me that industrial companies, heavy industrial companies like Sampson Rope, occasionally bring in some really big equipment to replace worn-out stuff. Is there any way that we can provide something where they could get a really large, oversized truckload of stuff in there?
There's an alternate that could be looked at during the detailed design that would access in a tapered driveway on their west approach or their west access on the west side of their building that could come off of the road for very slow moving large loads if we need to maintain that access.
Okay.
The road at that point is, I'm going off memory, but 7 feet, give or take, above existing. So it would have to taper back into their property quite a bit, requiring maybe some walls to maintain the fill, contain the fill. And so that would take up a little bit of their existing parking. So
I don't know if anything you've got would need that, but it might be worth even having a brief.
City Administrator, because we met with Mr. Smith last week. You want to relate that conversation?
Yeah, we met with Mr. Smith, the owner of the Sampson Rope property, and we went through much of this material here. I also gave him a copy of the packet that was in your packet tonight. He did not specifically bring up anything about the height of the proposed underpass, if you will. But I'll be talking with him soon anyway. So I'll be sure to call out to him just what we're talking about to be sure that that'll fit his needs.
We're proposing the typical access for a highway bridge. So all legal height loads will be able to pass through there. Just briefly continuing on in the smaller 8.5 by 11 packet, the next page contains a cost summary pulled straight from the report of all the options. It shows that option one, which is what we were just looking at, is a few million less than the other options. So we propose that be the one to move forward with. But there are the other options bunch up and are pretty competitive with each other, but option one is 4 million, give or take, less than the others. And as we move forward, we have submitted a scope and cost fee estimate to the city. The discussion so far led toward maybe considering moving forward with like a 30% design, but just the site work, the on-site work of that. So we've called it phase one of the 30% design to get the background information, the soils information, and the wetland information and that type of stuff that we need to actually design the rest of the project. So that last sheet before the that shows the fee estimate is for that work, phase one, 30%.
Would we have to preload that ground for any particular length of time before we actually built the?
It's possible. We would need the geotech information before we would know that for sure. We're doing a similar project for Skagit County that's requiring some ground improvements. It's a series, it's an array of rock columns in the soil that will relieve the pressure and that will let the immediate settlement take out much sooner than it would over time. So as you load it up with all that fill, it tends to settle during the time that you fill it so that by the time you get to the top, most of that settlement is gone. So there are ways to take care of that, but we would need to know the geotech information first. They would be looking at that. So that would be part of the phase one, 30%. That's all I had for the brief overview. If there's anything detailed that you'd like to get into, I kind of gave you this as a more concise version of what's in the report, the relevant information of cost and basic overview of the project.
Thank you for being here. Can you just summarize briefly the difference in experience for the drivers, truckers of the options? What are they, you know?
Yeah.
Why would they care? There you go.
Right. So the traveling public, including like trucks and things like that, would probably prefer the more sweeping turns and the most user-friendly of that would be option two. It gives the widest bridge at the radius. It also tends to be the more expensive option. I don't know that we can ever get around the best and the cheapest, but so that one is the best. It wouldn't require any slowing down of traffic. You'd maintain traffic flow compared to the other four, or the other three, better. Option one kind of moves that to the east a little bit and lets traffic maintain its flow, but the bridge is more straight, requiring less cost, less bridge structure, less wetland impact in that one as well, so that brings the cost down. So that option one seems to be a balance of traffic flow and environmental impact and right of navigation and all of that.
I guess I just added that too. One of the advantages of option one, why it's preferred, is it also follows more of the existing right-of-way that we have, the gravel road that's there. As you can see on these drawings, certainly option two kind of splits that one piece of property right down the middle and makes it less developable. So for not only lower costs and then drive ease, but also the utilization of existing right-of-way, option one appears to be the best of all ways.
There's been some talk about future development of those properties between the railroad and that option one alignment.
In fact, just I mentioned that I met with Mr. Smith, who owns Sampson Rope. He also owns the land where that long rectangle that you see in the drawing here. And so he was particularly interested in not only access to Sampson Rope, but also the alignment to maximize his potential future development. He also owns the land to the north of where the current Thornton overcrossing is. So he's interested in not only access to his property south of the existing crossing, but also to the north. So, yeah, I would think that he does have his eyes set on some future development potential.
I know at one time we talked about designing this in such a way that it could be extended out over I-5. Looking at option one, is that basically out the window?
It's not out the window. Some of the fill there would have to be reconfigured to do that, but it's still possible. It just takes.
So the idea was we didn't want to have to tear up a whole bunch of stuff and, you know, and redo it if we decided to go over the freeway.
Yeah, if I remember back a few years ago when we adopted our transportation impact fees, we had that discussion as to whether it would be preferable to fly over the whole freeway or not. One actually is cost. The other one is what it really does from a transportation standpoint, at least according to Transpo, is it changes the pressures on the on-off ramps at Portal. Given this configuration, as you would expect, there's going to be more pressure on the existing roundabout, which will probably someday need to go to a two-lane roundabout at Portal Way. But the idea of flying over the freeway, you're now on the other side, you're now on Portal Way, and we weren't really sure why many people would particularly want to simply get from this side of the freeway to the other side of the freeway. And so due to the cost and the permitting, we omitted in our transportation impact fees that portion of cost that was related to over the freeway costs. Right now in our transportation impact fees, we just have the assumed cost and therefore value and charge for something similar to option one, just keeping on just the west side of the freeway.
But I know we did away with the cost and the plan, but I thought there was a design idea that it could be
could be added on in the future without having to rework everything that we did here. And it looks like option one, you really, to try to extend it on out over the freeway, if that ever came about, would be a total redo.
Yeah, options three and four are the two options that consider that, that allow an easier future extension to the east. And so, you know, we would have to check and see maybe what the cost of that structure would be over I-5 in the future versus how much it would cost.
And if we're not going to do it, and if we're not even going to consider doing it over the freeway, then option one makes sense. But if we are going to consider going over the freeway, then we need to look at it today to make sure we don't screw ourselves down the road.
Right. And that's totally for the council to give us guidance on. Our thought is that while we'd always thought that a $20 to $25 million project would be hard for the city to fund itself, we knew we would need state or federal funders. I guess if we do want to keep with the concept of going all the way over the freeway, we would just need to be prepared to try to find the extra funding. I don't know if it would really, I guess it would actually, because if we can pick a preferred option tonight, I would like to also ask you to consider going to that next phase of doing the geotechnical work. But as you will probably assume, this next phase, the soils work and the wetlands work, is going to be restricted to the west side of the freeway because none of the options we talked about currently goes over. So it would change slightly in where they do the soils work, but we still would not be doing any soils work on the east side of the freeway.
I'll go to Councilperson Watson and Councilor Ingram, but again, let's focus on the conversation. DOT had no interest in going across the freeway. So, Councilperson Watson?
I'm curious if we're going to have people coming off I-5 on Portal to get home up the hill. Are we going to have to do something with that off-ramp at Portal on I-5 North? Because you can't turn left there now. And I'm just thinking if there's an extra 1,000 people coming home that way. I don't see any of those costs in here.
No, that actually is entirely in DOT right away. So that's something we'd have to work with them to try to design something.
Okay.
Councilperson Ingram?
I think you pretty much answered what I was going to say because I was going to mention the fact that anything we do to fly over the freeway, that's totally WashDOT territory, and they're not going to be happy. They weren't happy the last time we talked about it.
Yeah. In all the meetings, they have no interest in doing that connection.
But I thought they had no interest. They wanted to do something with Portal, too, that they didn't like Portal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they wanted to move Portal north.
Mm-hmm. True. Councilperson Bursch?
Would one of those mini roundabouts like on Slater work at Portal?
We actually, there was a conceptual design done a few years ago. I think it was kind of a tiered shop.
It was the pork chop.
The pork chop roundabout. But, yeah, I mean, roundabouts are a great way to get people on and off the freeways. There is land there currently. It's not owned all by the city or DOT. There is some private land. But I think in the future, if we were to do this project, I think DOT would certainly be a good partner.
Councilperson Mutchler?
Administrator Young, did you indicate you're looking for some direction from us tonight?
Yes. We would like to continue this project on. We just received a $20,000 grant from the port. They gave us money last year, and they give us money again this year, and we applied for this next phase. So actually on page 6 of the 8.5 by 11, you can see the phase 1 of the 30% design is $154,000. We currently have more than $200,000 in that fund, which, if you remember, predominantly came from the Samson Rope and Louvre street frontage to kind of put seed money into this project. So we would use that $20,000 from the port together with our own funds to continue on and find out from a soils and wetland standpoint where the big challenges are.
I would happy to make a motion based on $4 and $5 million in savings. That's a couple roundabouts right there that the council were to pursue option one.
I'll second that.
Okay, further discussion, Councilperson Watson?
Just a quick question. If we do some of this work now, we don't get the money for 3 to 4 years or longer. I mean, is I'm assuming the engineering work can last. We'll do it, and it's good for 3 or 4 years. That's not going to...
Let's roll on that conversation we had about our legislative lists. Why don't you share with them our conversation this afternoon? Well, I mean, because you read things from Olympia that, okay, this is slated way out there in years. But what we found is that projects that have engineering that are closer to shovel ready, those lists change when things are available. And so your advantage is to have a project that has further design.
Yeah, our understanding is that if the gas tax that came out of if the transportation package that came out of the Senate with the nearly 12 cent gas tax increase, if that survives the House and comes out of Olympia and goes on the ballot and people approve it, then my understanding is that as it's structured right now, the gas tax would be increased in three phases over the next 2 or 3 years, and that would tie to the state being able to issue bonds on a kind of an incremental basis to pay for these projects. And what we were talking about today is right now our project are in the 90-something, like we're number 90-something. Well, if we're ready to go and number 60 isn't, I could easily see how they're going to look for shovel-ready projects. So I think to the extent that we can get ourselves out ahead of this, even to a small extent, it'll be worthwhile, especially as Councilmember Watson was talking about. This next phase is predominantly soil work and wetland work. And while wetlands do change over time, in the time frame we're talking about, I wouldn't think that they would vary greatly. And the soils work is always good work because the soil is the soil.
Okay.
Further discussion on the motion?
The preferred low-cost alternative here, you mentioned about speeds being reduced. How slow would cars and trucks have to go on that curve?
The preferred option is one of the options that doesn't reduce speed through the curve.
The lowest cost on
that? Yes, that's one of those.
What
so
could be the typical speed limit now that you're set?
25 miles per hour throughout the city unless otherwise posted.
We don't need any stinking signs.
And you'll hear that again.
I'd have to check and see what the design speed is for that curve, but I believe it's 35 miles per hour.
Once we do the brewery over here, he's just planning ahead.
Okay, further discussion on the motion. Everyone understands the motion? Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries 7-0. Moving forward.
Yeah, and I would also, if you're so in the mood, I would also like to get approval of moving forward with Shear Design for the phase one of 30% design as presented in the packet.
I'll move that. I thought that was in the motion.
Okay,
thank you.
Oh.
That was just the first.
I'll move what he said.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilperson Hansen and seconded by Councilperson Watson.
What he
further,
said?
30%.
Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Well, one thing I forgot to ask you is, given the next phase of work, when do you think that phase, when will you report back on that?
We haven't gotten any feedback on the scope of work that we've submitted, so we would want to talk with you guys and figure out, you know, if there's anything else or too much, you know, get that hammered out, make sure everyone's okay with the hours we put in there.
We'll work that out, and then next time I'll come back, I'll kind of give you an idea of when we might be updating you along the way, just so you kind of see how we're making the progress.
I imagine it would take a few months to get all that
together. Okay.
Thanks
great
for the package.
Thank you very much. If as you move on or you go through this and have any further questions, boy, just come down and ask because this is an interesting move forward.
Well,
okay.
I'm hoping that we can prove Mr. Smith wrong.
Mr. Smith?
3 years ago in this chamber, Mr. Smith stood at that microphone and said, I'll never see this happen in my lifetime, and I want to prove you wrong.
Well, we were feeding him juice and healthy foods while he was at City Hall. So.
No donuts for Mr.
He's looking pretty good. He's pretty energetic. I think he's going to go a while. Okay, capital projects.
You've got
welcome.
You've got 2 minutes to tell your mom.
I can do it.
Good evening, Council. Katie Ratter, Public Works Project Manager. Got a list of stuff we're working on. So first on the list is Church Road. As you know, we have street trees, landscaping. We have some punch list items, and then, of course, the top lift of asphalt to put in. Right now, we're scheduled to start planting trees on the 16th of March, so that's in the next couple of weeks. The road will remain open to traffic during that time. It'll probably be reduced to single-lane alternating traffic so they can use one lane to stage equipment and materials. We're anticipating that the earliest start for paving will be April 6th. That's after they start up the local plant and get it fine-tuned so we get the mix that we want. But, of course, it will be weather-dependent. It needs to be dry. It needs to be warm. It'll require about a five-day road closure for that paving, striping, raising iron, and that sort of thing. Tony's been working on putting together a sign update. You notice the sign on Main Street. We'll update that to let people know. Sam will do his normal PR stuff, and then we'll update the signs both on the north and the south side of Church Road. So I don't know if anybody has any questions about that.
Official ribbon cutting is all done?
We have not discussed a ribbon cutting at this time.
We need to have a ribbon cutting.
We had a great idea by John. We just race up and down a couple times, then cut the ribbon.
Yeah.
I think you and I should be able to just blow through the ribbon with our motorcycles and just zip up the hill.
Yeah, there you go.
You behind me, so I don't have to listen to you.
Yeah. So Buck Sturgey.
I'm on a snowstorm.
I don't know if we can stop on South Churchill.
In December.
Anyway, we've digressed.
Okay, Jay, let's get back on track.
We're gone, sorry.
Okay, moving on.
Okay. Next on the list is the Main Street crack sealing. Those are the TDD projects that we have from I-5 to 3rd and then I-5 to Barrett. We don't have a schedule yet, but we are going to be approaching the city of Bellingham and seeing if we can tag onto their crack sealing program. So we'll have more on that later. Any questions about that project? Next is the house demolition. The house that we love, we call it Mindy's House, the corner of Vista and Washington.
Mindy's
Where did that go?
Mindy is the mannequin that we found in the basement that I think it's been in every office in City Hall.
Mindy likes to help out during trick-or-treating at City Hall and that sort of thing.
She like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain.
Mindy has traveled outside of. I think Mindy has traveled outside of City Hall. Has been to Mount Vernon, several homes.
Her fingers have. Okay,
that's creepy.
Scared
our new building inspector.
Well, that's just creepy and wrong.
We were embarrassed by Mindy when the Army Corps came to look at our electrical service. I had to take them downstairs when I was halfway down the stairs, and these were serious guys. They're in their, combat and stuff and all this stuff. And I said, "We have a mannequin." They're like, "No, really?" So anyway, Mindy was hiding out down in the electric closet.
Dispelling the rumor that we're serious at City Hall at all times.
So anyway, that project includes asbestos abatement, the house demolition and the basement demolition, backfill, and capping of utilities. There's a water service and a sewer service there. We plan on bidding that project early March, the end of this week, with the bid opening the 17th, and then we would take it to council for award the first meeting in April. So we're thinking it's going to be a fairly fast turnaround. The work should be done like the end of April, I would say.
Bid opening is March 17th?
That's what we hope, yes.
The extremely green bid?
Yes. Must be completed in green.
Yeah. Are you going to serve corned beef and cabbage at the bid opening?
We could.
You could if you supplied it.
We'll find supplies from the house. And.
Who knows? Okay.
Are there any questions about that?
No. Thank you.
Right.
Corned beef and cabbage.
Next is Brown Road. This is Wendy's project to replace the culvert there at Brown next to the railroad tracks, kind of by Portal Way. We're coordinating with the BNSF for a June, July construction time frame, so there'll be more on that later. That one's on the horizon as well. Any questions about Brown Road? All right, Sterling Sewer, we will be replacing a section of sewer on Sterling Avenue between Washington and Guinevere. The bid opening is actually scheduled for March 4th, which is the day after tomorrow, and we will bring that award information to council the first meeting in April. Looking forward to getting started on our sewer projects for the year. Kind of continuing with the sewer, Pump Station 4, if you remember, that's a rehabilitation of the existing pump station at Smith and LeBounty. We'll have to relocate an existing water line, install a new wet well, put in a new generator, new pumps, controls, telemetry, the whole works. So right now we're working, Public Works and Community Development are working on getting through the shoreline and SEPA permitting process. We've got a hearings examiner meeting scheduled for March 9th where they'll take a look at that information. And we're also working with Wilson Engineering to work on a final design. We plan on going to add late March with a bid opening in April. So that is tentatively scheduled for council review the second meeting in April with a June 1st notice to proceed with the work to be done by October 1st. Any questions? All right, next on the list is Pump Station 2 and 3. We're doing design for 2 and 3 only. Those are our two largest pump stations. Pump Station 2 is at Main Street at the bridge. Pump Station 3 is at Barrett. We're working with Wilson on that project as well. We're working, again, kind of a lean move here. We're doing a shoreline and SEPA permitting for Pump Station 2. Pump Station 3 is not applicable for that, but that'll also go to the hearings examiner on March 9th. And hopefully we'll get all that done so we can bid the projects in 2016. Any questions? More sewer. We love sewer. We're working on a project to design a section of sewer on Molloy. What it would do, it would be to replace and upgrade a section of sewer between Oxford Court and Thornton. And what that will do is that in the future it will allow us to take Pump Station 10, which is at Apollo offline. That existing section of sewer on Thornton is it's actually in poor shape, and it wouldn't allow for us to eliminate Pump Station 10. So we haven't yet set an add date for that, and it should be constructed this year, though, using the sewer bond funds. Any questions? All right. Pump Station 17. So Pump Station 17 was a smaller project on our capital program to floodproof a pump station on Slater Road down there kind of by Callens have a development there where we regularly the pump station floods and gets water inundated in it, and it's expensive to pump clean water. So our guys are actually designing some drainage so water doesn't get into the pump station. And I was talking about Bo today, and we think that we can get that work done for about $5,000 using city forces, and I think we've got it listed in the CIP for $25,000. So the guys are doing good work on that.
Wow.
Any questions?
Good job.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that's the maintenance guys are always looking out for stuff like that. LeBounty Sewer is the next on the list. LeBounty, the sewer line, this is the line between where LeBounty kind of turns and goes south. So there's a manhole where Pump Station 3 pumps into kind of in front of the Whatcom Farmers Co-op. And this project would upgrade and replace a section of sewer about 1,200 feet long between that manhole and a manhole down in front of Hagen. And this work actually needs to be done. It'd be using, again, the bond money that we got for the sewer. It needs to be done before we do work on Pump Station 3 next year. The existing sewer line is dead flat. It's got a belly in the middle of it. It's pretty high maintenance for the guys. They have to get in there, and they've got to jet it once a month. And so we're working at looking at design to replace that. It's going to be kind of a big deal because the sewer is very deep. There's a lot of potential groundwater. And because it's located on the... What side of the road is that? That'd be the south side... kind of nestled in between the storm and the water. We kind of had some concerns, or actually Reichart and Eby had some concerns about the viability of the storm system. When you start digging at that depth nearby utilities, you worry that they're going to fall in. So if you're going to have something fail, you want the storm to fail before the water fails. And we're working on design now to take care of that project. And so this kind of is a segue, I guess, into my next comment about our drainage. When Reichart and Eby realized that maybe that the storm system was could be potentially damaged during the sewer installation, they started looking at the area. As you know, I know just enough about this to be dangerous, but the Gateway study looked at all that storm drainage in the area and basically took a look at conveyance and capacity from the area kind of around Cost Cutter to the south, under Main Street, along I-5 to the river. And so they saw a real opportunity to potentially fix a drainage problem or an issue. We've got a drainage system where the water from LaBounty actually, a portion of it heads to the east, goes around the Cost Cutter Center over in between Cost Cutter and I-5, back around to the west, and then under Main Street. And so they brought up an idea, because we know that Cost Cutter, I don't know if you guys have been by there recently, is redoing their building, and they're redoing their parking lot. And so they thought that instead of the city putting money into upgrading the conveyance or cleaning out the ditches along I-5, that we could approach the Cost Cutter folks and see if we could get an easement and actually install a new pipe under their parking lot. And so that's the next project I want to talk to you about, is this Cost Cutter drainage. Last week, I don't know if anybody had any questions about LaBounty before I... last week, so we set up a meeting with the folks from, I think it's called Brindale Center, about getting an easement to be able to install this storm, and they were very amenable to that. So we're working on a project now to actually design that storm and get that ready to go, because if they are able to give us the easement and are willing to do that, they have some serious obligations that they have as far as timeline goes for construction to meet for their new tenant in that building. So I think Greg was going to...
Yeah, the Cost Cutter folks, this new storm line would run through the parking lot kind of in front of the Bowling Alley, between the Bowling Alley and the Cost Cutter parking lot. Mm-hmm. It would go straight and then kind of jog a little bit, not really going in front of Bob's Burger, but by it, and then eventually tie into our system that we already have going underneath Main Street and then eventually to the Nooksack River. And they were amenable to this. They're digging up their driveway anyway. We're going to be – they have an existing private small storm line exactly where that is that all of their parking lot drains flow into. So when we put in the new storm line, we'll go ahead and we'll connect those drains back in. But this is a great advantage because, as Katie mentioned, it does bypass that bizarre storm draining system that loops around the back of Cost Cutter into a pond and then disappears into DOT right away. It'll really, really help out all the drainage for that entire area, and the landowners are willing. But they have a May 1st deadline that they have promised their new tenant, that because they're currently remodeling half of the old Cost Cutter right now. And so they said they're good to go on the easement as long as we can get it done before May 1st.
Let them finish.
Okay, so I want to wait.
Yeah.
So we've kind of turned loose Reichart and Eby. They've come back and they've told us that, yes, they can design it, we can bid it, we can build it. And to hit that deadline, the approximate cost is about with a little contingency, about $210,000. It would mean that we would not be doing some of the other gateway work that we had planned this year, which was the work closer to the river. We'll come back in later years and do that work. But this is an excellent opportunity to have a willing property owner and a very astute engineer that gave us this idea. It's going to solve a lot of problems now and into the future. And so We would like to move forward with haste if all need be to try to meet their deadline for tenant improvements and get this project done here in the next couple of months.
Councilperson Watson?
So I guess I'm curious, if we spend the money on this, is this going to affect anything that Wendy is planning to do so we don't lose our permit or stormwater permit? Was there something else that she needed to do?
No, the gateway study we did, what we did before is we found, as well as it could be found, all of the storm lines that either private industry has put in, the city put in, DOT put in, and some of them, some people, with the help of some of the older developers in town who literally built this system, we were able to go in and do a lot of bushwhacking and brush cutting, and we actually found where most of these lines go. So we now know, we now have mapped our spaghetti-strewn storm system in that area of the city, because that part of the city existed prior to I-5. So as you could expect, it was a little muddled by I-5 cutting through there. And so when we did that gateway study, we said, okay, now we know where the choke points are. Where do we go about fixing it? And we thought it would be just as logical to start at the river and work our way back, basically ditch cleaning and perhaps some pipe replacement, because in places it's in pipes, in other places it's in an open, unmaintained ditch. So now what we would do is this would swap the priority from starting at the river, working towards that part of the city. We'd start at the city and then instead work our way towards the river.
So we won't be doing all the ditch work we were talking about.
Right. Not this year.
Not this year. Okay. As long as it's not going to hurt our permit, I mean, that's fine.
No. Councilperson Mutchler?
So, Administrator, you'd like us to make a decision tonight if we can on that decision?
Well, due to the time constraints of the developer, what we can do is we anticipate going out to the small works roster because of this relative. We can go up to $300,000 for a small works, which means you just call a few folks and you solicit bids from them as opposed to a 30-day sealed bid process. So we're going to go through the small works roster on this. And really, we could do it two ways. Due to their time frames and where we have our council meetings set, if you would like, we can actually call a special council meeting, a kind of a one-topic-only council meeting, and bring back the low bid for the storm work. Or, conversely, you could authorize us. Right now, our engineer's estimate is about $205,000. So we were talking, and we thought if we had a not-to-exceed approval of $210,000, we would just proceed with the work and report back as to who the bidder was and what the progress is as it goes on.
And again, all of this has to be bid, constructed, finished, parking lot finished by May 1st.
On May 1st.
Woohoo! Okay.
I move that we authorize $210,000 for this part of this conveyance to the Cost-Better lot there for direction of staff.
Does that give you...
Second. Yeah, that was the number that... Second.
I would like to make a friendly amendment.
Sure.
And authorize.
There's no such thing as a friendly amendment.
And authorize 220.
Can you do like?
Because
a friendly amendment. Like,
is there any objection to modifying the amendment?
No.
Okay. Seeing none. Then you're at 220.
Okay. My reason for that is simply because of the fact that that area over there with all that, as you called it, the spaghetti field, something's going to go wrong. You're going to run into something. We've done it before. we've run into those unexpected things before. And if we've got a $205,000 engineer's estimate, I just don't think a $5,000 cushion is quite enough. And if we don't spend it, we don't spend it. But I'd like to have it there.
And again, this is designed to where any development to the south, expanded to allow any development to the south.
And as Katie mentioned, we were concerned about the depth of the sewer and the proximity to the storm. She kind of underplayed it. The sewer is 14 feet down under Lebounty in that area of the city. So we are going to be stacking those boxes on top of each other with a lot of dewatering. It's a serious storm sewer project. So as
closing the road as well.
Oh yeah.
I'm assuming for.
The concern was we would disrupt the storm system. But what we'll do now is that we'll go ahead and put this new storm line in across the parking lot of Wollen Alley and Cost-Better and just stub it out in Lebounty. Then when we come back and do that sewer project, we'll just take out the storm at that point and then reconnect it into the brand new pipe that's already stubbed out. So, yes, it will extend and it will serve quite a bit of the undeveloped property in that area.
Great. Councilperson Olson?
Yeah, that's another thing. We're going to be changing the direction of the flow, so it won't actually be going looping around the back of the Cost Cutter. It'll flow towards Higgins, across the Cost Cutter parking lot, and then off to the Oaksack.
Did that motion give you the okay to proceed and then get back to us?
Yeah, we'll advise you as to what the bid was.
Was that in the motion?
I have a motion authorizing for up to $220,000 per project.
I don't think they're going to come back. I think they're going to go spend $200,000.
If we would go above that, we would be required.
I thought you were asking, there were two ways.
Right, we could have a special council meeting after we...
Yeah, I want to avoid that.
Oh, okay. Then,
I believe that's what this motion does.
That's what this motion does. Yeah, okay. That's my question.
That's what this motion does.
All right.
He loves it.
You are moving, charging forward.
Actually, it created three special meetings.
Okay, any further discussion on the motion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries 7-0. Okay, that's a tight schedule. Rock and roll.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
March, April.
I failed once again. I predicted we were done by 6:40. I failed once again. Councilperson Watson.
Well, sewer stuff is riveting. So, what happened to all the work we were going to be doing on the buildings? I know that we had talked about doing, you know, I saw painting on the Facebook page today. We were supposed to clean the roof and have them look at the pizza annex. There was just a whole bunch of stuff that Chad was working on.
Yeah, lots of things have... The interim public works director, I don't know what he does.
He's the worst, you know? I'm just saying.
I was going to say, right now, as you just heard, we're moving forward on our major capital projects. And my idea was that we'd be coming back probably in the next meeting or so with the facilities portion of that.
Okay.
Because our crew has now had a chance to kind of dive a little bit more into it. And so they'll be telling you what things they will probably be doing when.
I asked Gary the same question last week.
Okay.
Yeah. It slowed down for a minute, but it didn't disappear.
Okay, good.
It's all great.
Well, that goes without saying.
Okay, moving on. Mayor reports, none. Council reports. Councilor Seversh.
The Chamber Member of the Month for March is the education that's supposed to be for the school district. So they're having a really fun presentation of the award.
Oh, great. So they gave us an award last year, so we gave them an award this year. Any other council reports? Okay. Department reports. Finance director. City administrator, public works director.
And nothing more.
Community development director.
Nothing.
Assistant city administrator.
The only announcement I have is that come sometime here in September, we hope to bring an additional person to the new public library. So we're pretty excited about that, our family. So.
Oh, this is the first public announcement.
It is.
This is your roundabout way.
I've been able to do that for two babies at these meetings. I've been able to announce two babies, so.
Some people knew it way beforehand.
This will be the third, yeah.
Congratulations.
Taking over the world.
And have we chosen a name yet, or?
Batman.
police department. I would love to hear from police department.
You just call it Pokemon.
Really? I'm disputing that. I would like to compliment our police department. It was nice to get a newspaper article where commenters thought our police department was doing a great job. The only thing they mentioned is there was some question about the expression of the person coming out of the store in the picture. But, you know, we have to work with what we have. Please share our appreciation for the police department. Okay, so that's it. We are going to go. Where's my? Where did I do it? My executive session. Okay, we're going to go into executive session per RCW 42.30.1404A. Is that okay?
Tech or fine.
Lasting approximately 15 minutes. We'll adjourn and probably take no action. Well, you never can tell. But we will take no action. So, we'll sign up the high school students and let you go home. You guys did a great meeting.